Wonderful to be here. I went out crying, and I'm coming in crying again. You, just wonderful. Ina, you want to come stand with me? So, for the new faces, this is my wife, Ina. You want to say a little?
I'm going to say a little thing. A little thing. Just now that Mike mentioned the heat, it was quite interesting for me as my kids went to the new school in Malkos, and so that they cancel sport when it's 38 degrees. I laughed. Anyway.
But wonderful for us to be here with you guys. It's 2 years later. I feel like a different person. I'm a bigger Christian. Some of you a little bit grayer, a little bit, we won't go further on that. Nah. But it's just wonderful, man. Oh, just the faces, a bunch of new faces. I am convinced in my heart that the Lord needed to move us so that some of you that only come here after us could come in. That it wouldn't have grown the way it should have and can if we stayed. And it fills my heart just to see, just to see you guys. The old faces and the new faces. Uncle Frank, you want to maybe just quickly come and share that thing that you had? I've got a few, Uncle Frank. A few friends from Malkbos. So that is nice. There you'll see. Look, the promised land, it says it's filled with milk and honey. But they also had like big grapes. So I'm kind of have both. You know, Malkbos, Wellington, it's promised land. I've got both, the best of both worlds. You just want to share what you had on your heart?
Okay. Can I just read the scripture?
Yeah.
This is from Matthew chapter 14. Sorry, good morning, church. And it concerns Peter walking on the water. And We read that when the Lord appears, his first words to them are, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." Those are wonderful words from the Lord. And Peter answered him, said, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." He said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came to Jesus. You know, as I looked at that, I see that there's two sides to the boat. Now, you guys, we spoke about the allegory of the vine. You'd get a better understanding, perhaps. But us Malkboses, we know all about boats. And we know there's two sides to a boat. There's the inside and there's the outside. And that's all you need to know. The inside of the boat is the safe side of the boat. It's where your comfort zone is. It's where you're happy with things generally. But the outside of the boat is the faith side of the boat. And there comes a time when God calls us. And I looked and I saw God said, Jesus said in response, "Come." No great explanation. No idea of what's going to happen in the future and so on, but just come. And Peter got up the boat and he walked. He got out of the safe side. He was a fisherman. He knew the waters. He knew there was a storm brewing, but he got out of the boat. And I think that sometimes we ask God for things and he just simply says, no big explanation, just come. But we get stuck on the inside of the boat because it's comfortable. But we need to make sure we get out onto the faith side, because I want to just say this, that until we step out of the safe side of the boat into the faith side of the boat, we will not experience the dynamic of God in our lives. Amen.
Thank you, Frank. Amen. So that's almost the whole preach, but I did feel that it's important. You know, just even as break out the walls, you know, some of the things that as God comes in and he searches our hearts, it makes us afraid at times, and it it necessitates for us to trust Him and to have faith in Jesus that we can open up before Him. And when we sing, you know, there's nothing here to hide, nothing here to, that He really comes into that house. And it's beautiful with how much care He comes into our house. God is so good with chaos and messes. Look in the mirror. Genesis, He hovered over the chaos. It was dark and void. An encouragement around this scripture that He delights in giving mercy. Micah 7 verse 8. I'm going to read it in Afrikaans, just a short one there. It says, daar is nie nog 'n God soos U, Here. U vergewe ons sonde. Ons is die mense van die volk, die mense wat nog lewe. U bly nie altyd kwaad nie. U wil graag lief wees vir ons. U wil graag lief wees vir ons. Another translation says, He doesn't nurse His anger. Mercy is His speciality. And as I was preparing for us, I started listening to some of the preachers, and there was one, I think, that Fritz preached on the grace of God and being a grace community, and that God does not tolerate us. He delights in us. He delights in giving mercy. And when we're doing intolerable stuff and we come before Him, He delights. He's waiting to show that mercy. It says, mercy triumphs over judgment. And we've got to have a view of God like that, that we can come because there's no other place I can be to God because He wants to show mercy. This is a place where I need to be saved. So, I want to give some feedback as well. 2 years, for those of you who've not seen us the past 2 years, but I want to weave it into the story this morning that I feel God has for us together. And so if you can see there, it says, what if I'm in God's will but drowning? What if I'm in God's will but drowning? And for those of you who know the story of us, I mean, it was for us a big thing. I had planned, my children was going to one of the schools here in the valley. This was going to be our base, and then God spoke to us that we needed to move from Wellington to Melkbos. God spoke to Mike and Adi that they needed to move from Edgemead. Yeah, there was a number of things that God spoke, and it was His will. And I want to read us just that whole of Matthew 14 from verse 22 to 33, just as a backdrop. Just click on the screen there. Is it moving? There we are. Okay. So immediately He made the disciples. Just now for background, Jesus was performing incredible miracles. Multiplied food. Everyone got food. It was amazing. And so it's at the end of that time, they've all kind of fed. Magies full, oogies too. Type of, and so they're going home, and Jesus says, immediately He made His disciples get into the boat and go before Him to the other side while He dismissed the crowds. So He was, what a gentleman. Jesus says, you go on, and I'll sort the people out, I'll see them out, and so forth. And after that, He dismissed the crowds, and He went on up on the mountain by Himself to pray. When evening came, He was there alone. But the boat, it sounds like a very bad movie. But the boat by this time was a long way from the land, beaten by the waves of the wind, for the wind was against them. And in the fourth watch of the night, He came to them walking on the sea. But when the disciples saw Him walking on the sea, they were terrified and said, "It is a ghost!" And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Take heart, it is I. Don't be afraid." And Peter answered Him, "Lord, if it is You, command me to come to You on the water." And He said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat, the faith side, and walked on the water and came to Jesus. But when he saw the wind, and he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." Jesus immediately reached out His hand and took hold of him, saying to him, "Oh, you have little faith. Why did you doubt?" And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. And those in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." I want to use this story kind of as a backdrop of what we sometimes go through. We moved to Melkbos, lovely place, like Mike was saying. It's cool. It's got a cool sea breeze. You just don't have any 45s there. It's almost impossible. It's a miracle when it's 45. But we do have a lot of wind. But we've got, those of you who've been to us, we've got, also met ons boude in die botter geval, man. We have that miracle house where we can live. We can see the sea. And so we arrived there, but as we moved to Melkbos, and I don't see Karen and Errol this this morning. Are you here? Oh, okay, no. But we stayed with them just for a week or two before we moved. And as we started moving, my youngest son had an emergency operation. He had what you call an intussusception. I'm busy moving. The moving trucks are there. On our way there, Ina's at the hospital. On our way there, Ina's phoning me saying he's going to go into the hospital. And it's like emergency. I mean, it was close call, really. I'm looking into my rear view mirror, and the trailer that I had just flung open, and it's just stuff blowing into the the farmlands. You know, crying. I get home. We just had, it was a series of unfortunate events. It just didn't stop at the third one. It just kept on. And the whole year, we've had car problems, and then more children. Every month, we were in the hospital, and then a car problem again. And then, you know, just adjusting in the new area, and it's lovely people, but you misunderstand one another at times. And, you know, as nice as I think I am, I step on toes that I didn't know they were toes, and they step on my toes, and they didn't think they're stepping on my toes. And it's just, it's not nice. I want to go back to Wellington, where it's safe and everyone understands me, and they know when I make these corny jokes, they laugh and they have this, and they know me. Yeah, many are English, the children are different. My poor son, the first day we arrived at the church there, my sons don't, you know, but I don't know what he did, but he started showing signs that aren't proper to show here. And he's never done that. And the first day, I'm now the new leader elder there. Children's next gen worker comes to me and says, "Can we quickly chat? Usually we first have a coffee and build some, but you know what? Your son is showing these signs. And he got all the children." I'm like, and he asked me, "How's your relationship with your son?" I'm like, "Lord." Series of unfortunate events. And like we heard this morning, in our weakness, his strength is made perfect. And we go through all the adaption times and so on. End of last year, I came, and I'm now condensing it, and I'm probably giving more, but we had lovely, I mean, the people sitting here, we connected, we have some great moments, but we also have some difficult moments, and there's things that we just don't understand one another. And by the end of last year, I'm tired, I'm weary. We've had a number of circumstantial stuff that was just outside of relation, just difficult, and it feels like it's wind, and it's tossing, and I get tired, and I'm thinking, I don't know if I can carry on. I'm drowning in my heart. I'm drowning. I'm feeling it's difficult for us. Are we going to? And you ask, you know, am I in God's will? And you get over and over, I'm in God's will. But this will is not a happy will. And so we have some holiday. I regain some perspective, but I'm still feeling, I don't know, you go into this year kind of with trepidation. We have a number of chats. I had some chats with Andrew and a few directing elders. We just, okay, how are we going to do this year? And so we chat and they ask how it's going. And I've got, you know, what my experience is. Some states he says, okay. I'm not saying this is going to happen, but let's say. If you have the opportunity to maybe go help with another church. We're looking at planting a church in Paul. What would you like that? Oh, it's close to Wellington. It's close to all my friends. But God did not say. I'm convinced that we need to be in Malpos. I'm convinced of what God wants. It's the best place for us. It is where God wants. And I said, no, I can't. This is God. And I'll ask you this morning, and we've turned. It feels like there's a definite change, at least in my heart. I think sometimes more I need to change than the church. It's not much the adaption and going through the number of things of finding your place sometimes takes longer than what you think. Walking on seeming water or doing God's will sometimes will test you in ways that you didn't think you would be tested. And you are surprised more by what's happening on the inside than what's happening on the outside. Surprised by your weakness, surprised by your frailty and your vulnerability. And we like to project it onto others. Yeah, but he doesn't do that. She doesn't do that. No, but the. And the Lord's not interested really about he, she, and the other. He's coming and saying, are you doing what I've called you to do? And so let's look at, just click on that screen again. There we are. Jesus makes his followers do what he wants. Bible says that if you can go through the scripture there, it says immediately he made the disciples get into the boat and go before him. Some translations would say he constrained them. They are on a high. How many thousand people just got fed? It's incredible, man. Nobody see it. This is amazing. And I just want to hang around because we know Jesus and we're so cool. We help Jesus. And it's pretty much like that elephant and the ant. And the ant is riding on the elephant's back. And they're walking over the bridge and everything is shaking. And ant saying, my elephant, aren't we shaking this bridge? I mean, that's how we sometimes feel with God. I mean, we think we are so cool. And he's actually doing everything. And what he's saying is, he's going and says, you guys, get in the boat and go. Oh, and he makes them. If you are a follower of Jesus this morning, I want to remind you that Jesus makes you do what he wants, not what you want. It's the best for you, but it's his will. And when we give ourselves to Jesus and when we say, be the Lord of my life, be the captain of my salvation, I am giving myself to say, your will, not my will. Make me. The prodigal son, the story of the prodigal son was that he went to his father and says, give me what is due me. And when he returned, he said, make me. And we've got to come to a place where we say, Lord, make me. Because he wants to make you do what he wants. Goes on and it says, Jesus went off to be alone with the Father. And he went up on the mountain. Jesus enjoyed being alone with God. Alone time was very important for the kind of life that he needed to live. He needed to be with God. It was important for him as a person, as a human, because Jesus was human as well. It was important for those around him to be alone with God. And I felt just this morning, specifically for some of you, that alone time with God will help your loneliness. Because oftentimes we can be in a group and we can feel very lonely. And God wants you to be with him. The Bible says that he will give his name. It's Emmanuel, God with us. And so God is with us. He's everywhere at the same place. It's difficult for God not to be somewhere because he is omnipresent, the big word. He's everywhere at once. Psalm 139 says, no matter where I hide, you are there. Even in death, I try to, you are there. And so this morning, I want you to know that God is with you. The question that needs to be answered is, are you with him? Are you with him? And alone time with God will help you to become more and more aware of him with you. And oftentimes, like this morning's encouragement, we feel like everything is chaotic. How can I be alone with God? He's not going to enjoy. I want to tell you, God enjoys showing mercy. He delights. He's ready to show mercy. He's not minimizing your and my sin. He's not making it smaller. He's not going, don't worry, I didn't see that. No. What he's saying is, my mercy is way bigger than that. And oftentimes when we want to make God bigger in our minds, we want to make something else smaller. And you don't have to do that. Your sin is big enough. It brought Jesus to the cross. It's serious. But his mercy is way, way bigger. Way more serious in a sense. I came to a place actually where, and guys, you need to hear, as I'm telling a bit of the story, I'm telling you my experience, my journey, especially for the Malkus people here this morning, and I've shared some of that to them as well, is the adjustments to some of the things and the spiritual powers you come against at times. I don't always understand how that works, but things happen to us and it gives us a certain message. Somebody doesn't greet you, the message is they don't like me. Somebody, something bad happens to you, you bump your toe, God must be angry. You have certain messages that come to you. All those messages are not from God and they are not the truth. But they are there. They do come. And I was at a place where I was like, I don't think I'm in God's will. And it's coming against, and you're not this, and you're not worthy, you're not able, you're not, that I'm driving down the street at some time, and I'm pounding on my steering wheel, I don't know what to whom I'm screaming, but something out there that's trying to not have us here. We will be in Malkus. I have been called. I don't know if somebody drove past, and they're thinking, crazy guy, he's probably, but that you come to that place where you have to confess what God has said. You have to convince yourself what God has said, maybe. Because things in you at times don't agree with God. And we've got to be honest about that. And that God is so incredible that he can even allow the devil to work things. So that you can come to the place where you trust Jesus more. His foolishness is wiser than the devil's greatest wisdom. And some of you this morning need to remind yourself of God's will. Now they go. They're in the storm. And I just say this first. Like the Bible says they fall off the land. So now they're in the water. Speaking with Uncle Frank this morning, the disciples maybe had to be made to get into the boat because they saw the signs of a storm. The wind, I mean, they're fishermen. They know how the weather works. So they were like, Jesus, this is not a good idea. We know you are the Lord. We know you, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. We know all, but can we just help you in this one? And Jesus is saying, get in that boat. We were actually teaching on baptism last week. In the Afrikaans translation, when Jesus speaking to John, telling him to baptize him, was so nice. Jesus says, do not ek vir jou vra. It's like, so it's such a, just do what I ask you to do. Baptize me. And sometimes Jesus comes, doen wat ek vir jou vra. go. And they go, they're in the water. So now they fall off, they're in a boat. They fall off in a boat in a storm. They fall off in a boat in a storm in the night. A storm in the day is one thing, a storm in the night is a whole different story. Fall off in a boat in a storm in the night in a panic. And we know the story. Here Jesus comes and he's walking on water. And he goes, and they say, "It's a ghost." Now some of you remember a friend of mine called Yuri. And he used to say, you know, here's the disciples rowing. Matthew, Mark. You know all the other names? Yeah, I know you know. James, they're going, John. Matthew goes, da-da-da-da-da-da. G-g-ghost! James goes, Luke! But if you're now a scholar, you would know that Luke wasn't there yet. So, Luke only came in Acts. but they... Yeah, some of you believe me there, huh? You must just sound convincing. Then people will believe you, man. No, I'm joking. So, a ghost. And Jesus is oftentimes unrecognizable at first in a storm. See what's the pattern of God. Incredible. Jesus is baptized. Not only is he baptized, a word from heaven. The audible voice of God says, "This is my Son in whom I'm well pleased." Not only a great voice from heaven, Holy Spirit comes upon him like a dove. I mean, it is an incredible thing. And the Father says, "Go into the wilderness." And what happens there? He gets tempted. He gets thrown to the devil. Later on, yeah, incredible miracles, great things happening. Jesus saying, "Oh, and this is awesome. Go into the storm." He sets them up. He sets them in the will of God. But it looks different than what they... And Jesus comes into that and he's... they don't expect him in the storm. They don't expect him in the crisis. And I want to tell you, Jesus is in your very crisis. Whatever shape, form of that, that might look like your heart is, you know, like the picture this morning, is your house is full of chaos. This, that, or the other. You've got a situation with a colleague at work. You've got a family situation, marriage, parenting. Yeah, whatever. Jesus is right there. I can guarantee you that. He might just look like a ghost at this stage. Jesus steps into their situation. We heard this morning, the grace of God is there for us to do what He wants us to do. And so He comes in. And they are scared, but immediately. I love this immediately. If you go read the Gospel of Mark, it's full of immediate. At that moment, it's like this action movie. I love reading that. But here we have Matthew, and he says, "But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, 'Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid. Be courageous. Don't be afraid.'" Will, I think 2-3 weeks ago, said, "Cheer up, buttercup. Cheer up. Take heart." And it sounds to me, just like as I prepared and I had these few just... sentences going, and I was listening to some of the preachers that was being preached here. It sounds like God wants you to get hold of this. God is not just tolerating you. He's delight to giving you mercy. God is giving you grace. God wants you to take heart there where some of you have lost heart. Cheer up. In the storm, in the whatever you're experiencing, come. Did I put that? I just want to make sure. Yeah. So Jesus says, "Take heart. And it says, little fear gives space to big life, gives space to crazy idea. Because I've been a Christian now for about 20 years. No, over 20 years. I still don't get why Peter said that. Jesus says, be of good courage. Don't be afraid. Okay, Jesus, if it's you, let me come to you on the water. Let me walk on water. Let me do something that nobody has ever done before. It feels to me like almost in this picture, where there's no fear, there's space for big faith life. There's space for the crazy ideas. There's space for those ventures that God wants you to step in, that you are actually holding back on because of fear, because of the walls in your heart. And if you can just break through, if the Holy Spirit can just break down those walls, you'll step out into more. We are not designed to live under fear. It doesn't work. Our minds biologically does not work well under fear. That's why some of you have, you know, stage fright or this, that, or the other. We don't work well under fear. We don't open up under fear. We don't. But when there's no fear, where there's love, it's like we start living as we're supposed to live. We start doing what we're supposed to do. Chill. You see that in families where there's abuse and where there's a lot of fear, the kids are living small, they're quiet, they don't want to do anything. But where there's love and acceptance, the kids have got a sense of spontaneity. There's like they feel they can. Jesus' family, our Heavenly Father's family, is one of you can. With Jesus. It's one of love that casts out fear. It's one of the crazy ideas. They feel they can. And Jesus says, come. Says, come. And he steps out. And we know that. So he steps out. He walks on water. It is incredible. Any of you done that when you were little at the pool? You heard the story at Sunday school and you thought, my brother is 6 years younger than me, and at some stage my dad was cautioning him at the pool. He couldn't swim that well yet, and so he's saying, Werner, watch out there. But Werner keeps on going to the edge. So my dad just stands close by and Werner goes over the edge. You know, and when the eyes just go. They just blink and there's a few bubbles that come up, but they're still registering what's happening. I can't. My dad just gave a moment and then he plucked him out, but from there the lesson was learned. But we sometimes step out and we're like, we try and do things. And yeah, in a sense, Peter is walking on water. He is seeing Jesus. And I mean, it's just amazing. It's like, I don't know, how did it feel? How did he, you know, did it feel hard? Did it feel soft? Did it, you know, was he doing like a moonwalk, a water walk kind of? How does that look like, you know? But he's walking, and then he sees. The Bible says there he sees the wind. He sees the waves. His vision shifts. Reality kicks in. And he starts sinking. A message is coming. You are not supposed to walk on water. This is not supposed to work like this. You are afraid. You are going to die. Whatever message that that wind and waves are bringing, he's believing that. And he's going like my brother Werner. His eyes are blinking. What do you see this morning? Where you are. What do you see? Do you see a house in chaos? Do you see a life in chaos? Do you see just people against you? Do you see just leaders against you? What do you see this morning? God against you? Do you see Jesus? I wish you could see that picture now. Some of you might have seen that picture, but it's this beautiful kind of painting of a person that's under the water looking, and Jesus is stretching out his hand. Peter goes and he says, "Save me! I'm drowning, I'm sinking. Save me." He saves. Sitting there in my car, "I will be you. Save me, Jesus." And you think, you know, you hope that some and angels come and they, you know, come around you and everything gets sorted out, and no, he didn't. But he comes into our hearts. He comes and makes his presence known. Immediately, he reaches out his hand and took hold of him, saying to him, "Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?" He's not scolding him. This is the merciful Jesus. He's like, "Why did you doubt? It's like, you don't see who I am. You don't know who I am. Why did you doubt? You lost sight of who I am." Ruan did that. Ruan went out. Wellington, going to Melkbos. And I mean, with every new thing, and maybe Mike and I, you come and you're ready. We, as leaders, you want to bring change. You want to bring new stuff. God is laying stuff. And then it's like, we need to find one another, and you need to, and then there's this circumstance and that, and your children here, and it's family, and it's and you feel like you look and you lose sight of Jesus. You lose sight of the one who said come. You lose sight of the one who was here. I mean, how many of you have had your children running athletics? Just now in February or so. And those five-year-olds, they're running, you know, and they're going crisscross and they're waving at Opa and Oma. But there the parent is waiting. Come, run. And it's so exciting. And in some way, Jesus is anticipating. He's coming. Come. And he's drowning. And he's not like, "Oh, let me leave you down there so that you can learn your lesson." He reaches out and he says, you forgot that I am Jesus. Why did you doubt?" In 2 Peter, I've got now the exact verse there, but it says that those who lack the qualities of a Christian, and it speaks about, you know, just the various aspects of how, it says they have forgotten that they have been cleansed by the blood of Jesus. And I know that I sin when I forget whose I am and that Jesus cleansed me. We forget our identity in Him. We forget who He is and who we are in Him. And in Hebrews 10, verse 35, I think it says that you are not of those who draw back. And it's such an incredible, it says God's heart has no pleasure in those who draw back. And then He says, and you're not of those. You're not of those who just sink to your own perdition. You're not of those. You're of those that step out and start walking. And you might, you know, stumble here and there. But you are of those who walk with me. What do you see this morning? Where are you? Is there another slide there? Okay, I think that's it. So where are you? Are you sinking? You stepping out? You just walking? You in the boat still? You know what I want to say about that boat thing there? It's incredible. 12 were in the boat, and then one got out. It says when Jesus walked back, I don't know how that worked. It says they went back into the boat. When they were back in the boat, so my assumption is that they walked back on water. I don't know if Peter climbed on Jesus' back. You know, what did he do? But they walked back and got. And when they got in the boat, all 12 worshipped him and said, "You are the Lord." 12 worshipped him. One walked with him. That you need to get this morning. We've got, I don't know how many are sitting here this morning. You're worshiping Jesus. You come here faithfully. You worship. And that's part. But Jesus wants you to walk with him. And that's outside the boat. Outside these four walls. Outside your personality. 12 worshipped him, one walked with him. He didn't get it right all the time. But he walked with Jesus. And if I look at Jesus, when he came to the earth, he said, "Come, follow me." Parents, if your child comes every morning, "Oh, Dad, you're so great. Oh, Mom, you're so wonderful. And it's so lovely to be your child. And it's amazing." And I mean, we all sit now, it's like, wow, that must be an incredible child. Where do we find a child like that? Outside the boat. But if your child only does that and never goes with you to the supermarket, never goes with you on camping trips or to be with the family, never goes with you to where you want to be and share life, never walks with you, you're I'm so glad you think so much of me, but I want to share my life with you. I want to do stuff with you. 12 worshipped him, one walked with him. And that walking is a form of worship. But it's got feet. It's got movement. Gets you out of the boat. And this morning, when I hear of you, you might start to walk with him and you might feel you're sinking. I want to tell you this morning, immediately his hand is there. I can't guarantee that your circumstances will end, but I do guarantee you that your heart can change. Your heart can change. My heart changed. He had mercy on me. You know how fraught my heart was actually. That you start to doubt, you start to wonder, you start to project. And he delights in showing me mercy. Say, I've called him to walk with me. God's called Mike to walk with him. God's called Ina. God's called Derek. God's called each one of you to walk with him. Come, man. Let's get in that. Let's get to the place where he's leading us. And let's do what he's called us to do. Let's take heart. Say, Jesus, I don't know how it looks out there. If I read it right, it looks like there's going to be a storm. But the one who is over the storm, the one who calms the storm, the one who speaks, the one who holds me, the one who can, if I drown in this storm, he's the only one that can save me. That other 11 guys that are fishers and that are professionals, they couldn't save Peter. But Jesus did. And so I want to ask, just as a form of response, I want to ask it in two directions. The first one I want to ask for you, know Jesus. You got in the boat. You're in the boat. You're a worshiper of Jesus. And I think for most of us, we got out the boat somewhere. You've got a situation that I feel you might be sinking. You lost heart. You lost your foot. You lost stability. And you're sinking. And can I say this? That sometimes when nothing is happening around you, whatever you expected, you start losing. You think it's not much is happening, so you start going back. Your faith actually shrinks. You don't step out anymore. You don't go for it anymore because something happened. You don't know exactly quite what that is, but something happened. And you would settle. If that's you, I'd love to just pray for you this moment. If you can just put up your hand, I just want to agree with you that you're standing and saying, Jesus, I'm sinking in that way. Am I clear enough here? Okay. All right. Just keep your hand. Keep your hand. All right. Okay. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, as these ones sit here, they know there's something that's been lost in some way. And reaching out to you. And I pray, Lord Jesus, that they would experience a sense of immediacy that Jesus stretches out his hand. And as you sit there, I just want to ask you, remind yourself of how good he is. Ask the Holy Spirit, glorify Christ in my heart. Show me who he is. Because I know in some way you just forgot. In the mundaneness of whatever you were busy, or in the storm that you were busy. Thank you, Jesus. And then there's an aspect of this picture, this image of the storm and of the people in the boat. And it feels to me like when Jesus came into the storm, it is the same as the earth in Genesis was void, and there was a sense of chaos, and it says that God hovered over it, and then he started to create. And there was a time in history that there were lots of promises of God, and the Jewish nation had all these promises, but it's for 400 years, it was as if God was silent. And it's in that sense, it's stormy. The people of God have lost their way. They don't know if they can still trust him. They may be going through the motions. And then in this seeming storm, you hear a baby crying. And there is shepherds that have an angelic visitation. It says, good news to all the earth. Joy to the world. Jesus, the Son of God, is born. And you have Jesus come into the storm of the earth, into this. And he walks and he says, I've come to seek and save the lost. And this morning, you have not even started to follow Jesus. You, in some sense, your life might be in a storm or so, but you don't even, you know you're not following. You're drowning, but you don't know how you got into that water. And you need Jesus. You need to have a relationship with Jesus. Somewhere along the line this morning, my message kind of just echoed in your heart. It's like, yeah, I had that similar experience. But I don't have a relationship with Jesus. If that is you this morning, I want to pray for you. I want to invite you not to an easy life. I want to invite you to a storm. But I want to invite you to the eye of the storm. I want to invite you to Jesus can lead us. Is there anybody like that this morning you need to recommit your life, or you need to give your life afresh to Jesus for the first time? Is there anybody like that? Okay. If for some reason you might be afraid right now, or you're too drowning to say that, I want to just invite you. Speak to one of the elders. Speak to a leader, your friend that you came with. We want to see you walk on water. Amen? Lord, can we stand? Can we stand? Jesus. I know it's 11 o'clock, so I do want to be sensitive to that. It does feel to me in some sense that there are some of you that need more prayer in some way. And I want to encourage you to maybe just take the friend that you came with, your community leader, to just say, hey, just pray with me in this area. This is what men, this
this meant something to me this morning. That you don't go away this morning without saying, Lord, save me. Lord, this area. And so, Lord, as we stand here together this morning as a congregation of people called to the faith side, people called to walk with you, not just to worship you, I pray, Lord, that you would come and bring forth just a stirring in hearts, Lord. I pray that you would open up the dreams, that you would remind, dust off the dreams and so, dust off the things that some people have just let go of, Lord, and that they would take that up again, and that they would hear your come, that they would hear you say come. And there were some have turned around. They were busy coming, Lord, but they turned around. I pray that you will arrest their hearts right now. You will arrest them for what you've called them for. Maybe some of that neglect that Cassie mentioned was you actually just letting go of the come of Jesus, the call of Jesus. Say, Jesus, here I am again. Can't guarantee that I'll get it right, but I want to walk with you. Amen. Let's just respond to Jesus in that way.